For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or
1-800-773-2345. This is Jason in the House.
Thanks for joining us here on the Jason in the House podcast. I know you're going to like this because Joey Jones is our guest today. You've seen him on Fox News. Wonderful human being, served his country, loves his country, was hit by an improvised explosive device. He was one that stepped up to volunteer to deal with these bombs. He's got a new book, Joey Jones, Behind the Badge, and it tells these different stories and illuminates what these people have gone through. A lot of first responders, those types of, you know, they're a special personality, special breed, and it comes with a different approach and a different thought. And I want to dive a little deeper into that, ask Joey about it, have him talk about his new book. It's just coming out, Behind the Badge with Joey Jones. So we're going to talk to him. We're going to highlight the stupid because, you know what, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. We got to kick things off. This cannot go without being talked about a little bit more. With all the news and everything going along, some of these stupid things get left off to the side. But, man, you have people in positions of power, prominent positions. This one, I go to FoxNews.com. This is the governor of Arizona, Katie Hobbs. Not necessarily routinely accused of being the smartest person in the room, but she took here's the headline. Dem governor ripped as total disgrace after vetoing bill limiting Chinese land ownership near military bases. Now, this has been a big national story, the idea that the Chinese were going out and acquiring things that were close to, you know, military bases. I wonder why. I wonder what would lead somebody to do that sort of thing. So, in Arizona, they put together a bill. Well, the sub-headline here says Governor Katie Hobbs, Democrat of Arizona, called the bill when she vetoed it. She vetoed this bill, passed the state legislature, calling it ineffective and said it could lead to arbitrary enforcement of land purchase restrictions. That is just unbelievable today, said the Arizona State Senate Majority Leader, Janae Shamp, called the politically motivated veto utterly insane and blamed Haas for being an obstructionist against safeguarding our citizens from threats. However, Hobbs said the bill, Senate Bill 1109, was ineffective at counter-espionage and did not directly protect American military bases in the state. My goodness, can't you every once in a while stand up for America, stand up for Americans, stand up for making sure that, why do we give all this preferential treatment to non-citizens? And in this case, people with ties or direct involvement from adversary states like China. Sorry, folks, it's not saying if you're a Chinese American you can't do it, but if you're using the entity and the money that comes from these foreign governments, maybe it shouldn't be buying land right next to a military base. All right, so congratulations, Katie Hobbs. You have certainly made our list. All right, going on to the next story. This just gets to be so frustrating, right? Because The allegation here is that a man made a, this comes from the Associated Press, a man made a false bomb threat so he wouldn't miss a flight to Los Angeles. So evidently he was going to get on a flight in Detroit, but was going to be a little bit late. So he thought if he called in a bomb threat, it would delay the Spirit Airlines flight, and then he would have time to make the flight. Now, this 23-year-old man, he was charged with maliciously giving false information about an explosive. The phone call caused chaos at the airport. This is at Detroit Metropolitan Airport. And the FBI said passengers on the plane were removed, interviewed, and screened again. The flight didn't leave until 6 hours later. So, yes, the flight was delayed. Evidently, he was not on it. He got a nice interview. He screwed up untold number of people's lives and schedules and everything else, all because he was going to be late for the flight. That's the allegation. That's the initial story. We'll see where it all ends up. But, oh, my gosh, talk about stupid. All right, next one, New York Post. Great organization. They write some of the best, funniest, most provocative headlines out there. This one, it comes under the category of weird but true. Walmart customer calls cops after his self-checkout avocado mishap charged $1,300. So a Walmart employee claimed a customer called the police after he, the customer, accidentally overcharged himself for avocados. Then he accused the store of robbing him. Now, you know these self-checkout things. You've been, not everybody has the skill set to scan that code or type in how many they have, that kind of thing. But this was posted evidently up on Reddit, which, you know, is the pillar of everything that's true. But anyway, it caused quite a confrontation, and he came up with a bunch of stuff, claimed that the item was on the shelf, was priced at $9.99. It was showing at the register at $19.99. Then he had the avocados, and guess he accidentally hit that he had 999 avocados instead of 9. Sounds like an innocent enough mistake, but, you know, his bill then jumped up to $1,300, and, of course, the customer called 911. Police had to show up, sort it all out, but, oh, my gosh, do we really need to call the police when you type it 999? Sounds like something could have been solved. Maybe they're at the place, just a little bit easier. That, folks, is the stupid, because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. Before we go on with our interview, I just need to add one more. And I got to go to Greta Thunberg. Greta, as you know, had this, there was this flotilla. Okay, and the flotilla was headed towards Israel, and the idea was that they wanted to illuminate the problems and the challenges and everything that was going on with Israel, and that they were the bad guys, and they did this, that, and the other. So they had this, what is often, some people have referred to, as the selfie yacht. So you get these celebrities, people yearning for attention, everybody with their camera in hand, ready to take their own selfie. I love the name they came up with this, which is the selfie yacht. People taking all these pictures. Well, the Israeli Navy, they came in contact, and they said, you know, we're just not going to do this because you are in international waters headed towards where they're coming to, into a restricted area. Israelis are pretty good, pretty on top of this. But what I love about this story, first of all, it's totally stupid that they're in this flotilla. In what is essentially a war-torn area, no sensitivity to the gravity of the situation. Drew on to draw attention to it. But once they were evidently apprehended and brought back, during their detention, they made them watch the videos of the attack from Gaza into Israel. We're talking about the brutal deaths, rapes, killing, dismembering, brutal. Like, I have not seen the tapes. I have not seen, I've seen some of the videos, obviously not all of them, but they made these people sit and watch that. And to that, I give them an A+. Good for them for showing them the reality of the terrorism that was caused by killing more than 1,000 people, taking hostages, and just causing all sorts of mayhem. And it was one of the worst terrorist efforts in the history of Israel and the world. It was just awful. It was just horrific. And the idea that they made Greta and these other people on the selfie watch it, I just love that. All right, that's the stupid this week.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLew is here for you. With DebtLew's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLew are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 50 and tired of your wireless bill getting higher and higher, there are four things to consider. One, how much data are you really using? As we get older, we use less data on our wireless phone, but you're probably still paying for an unlimited plan that was designed for 20-somethings. Two, if you see Get a Phone on Us, get your sneakers out and run the other way. No one is giving you a free phone. You are paying for that phone over time with an overpriced rate plan and a long-term commitment. Three, check the fine print on that $15 a month plan. It's probably an intro price that'll double or triple later. You might even have to pay for several months of service up front. Number four, beware of cable company wireless plans. Most of your usage will be on Wi-Fi instead of 5G, and your calls and battery life could suffer. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable, nationwide service without the big wireless bill. Our plans start at just $20 a month.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
In the 1970s and 80s, one of the most successful songwriting duos was Elton John and Bernie Taupin. Elton John discusses their music composing relationship.
He writes the lyrics first and gives them to me, and then I write the songs to them. In the old days, I would slice bits of verses out and cut things here and there. It's not so bad now, but it's always been lyrics first. Very, very rarely has I have sometimes suggested a title for a song or maybe a melody, but Don't Go Breaking My Heart is the only one I can think of. And I enjoy that process. People say, you know, why don't you write your own lyrics? Well, I don't really want to. I enjoy writing with Bernie. I love it. And it's a magical, and he's one of my dearest friends, and I love him so much. But why would I want to change something that gives me so much pleasure?
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. We're all being hit by rising prices when food shopping, but there are many ways to save so you can avoid wasting your hard-earned dollars at the grocery store. Like avoid getting pre-cut items like veggies, packaged fruits, and cheese. Sure, it's convenient, but they're costly and can be almost double the price. And try to pick up larger bags of produce like potatoes, which are far more cheaper. But when buying in bulk, make sure it won't go to waste. Store packaged snacks can also be convenient, but they're marked up in price. Instead, try buying in bulk and making your own trail mix or other items. And instead of buying individually wrapped items like crackers or cookies, buy the whole box counterpart. Separate the items and package them yourself. And try to avoid buying non-food items at the grocery store like paper plates or plastic bags, which are often cheaper per unit at warehouse stores. And if you can, buy generic brands over brand name products, especially when it comes to spices, frozen foods, and cereals. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. A study is looking at data from the 13 years after a 2010 Supreme Court decision that limited local government's ability to restrict gun ownership. And it finds gun-related deaths of children and teenagers rose in states that relaxed gun laws. Researchers finding the amount of kids under age 18 who died from firearm injuries exceeded the expected figure for that time by nearly 7,500, a total of 23,000 deaths. The nine states that enforced the strictest gun laws had no increase in youth firearm deaths. California, New York, Maryland, and Rhode Island saw a significant decrease in deaths. That study, published in JAMA Pediatrics, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, says guns became the leading cause of death for young kids and teens in the U.S. in 2023 from ages 1 to 17. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Jason in the house.
Well, now sitting right in front of me is Joey Jones. Congratulations. You got another great winner of a book.
I hope so. Thanks, man. It's it's a pleasure to come on here with you. This book is...
Did you think, like, when you were growing up, oh, yeah, you know, I know I'm in English class here, but I'm going to be an author, and I'm going to sell a lot of books.
If you polled 30 English teachers that had me in my career, you'd get 30 out of 30 that said no way.
No.
You'd get 30 out of 30 that said this guy couldn't write a paper, much less a book. Now, that doesn't mean I wasn't a good storyteller, but grammar, spelling, the details I miss completely, you know, and especially growing up in the South and speaking like it. I mean, this is 20 years removed of trying to fix my accent. So just think of how I would love to go back and read
some improved
of the, exactly,
version?
Exactly.
You know, and so, I'm about to launch my new book, mm-hmm. You know, it's coming out on July 1st, so I got a little ways to go. But the idea that I'm doing my fifth book
yeah.
is just, like, crazy. And the way you talk is so different the way you write.
It is. I told a friend of mine this the other day that when you're in this business, because I do a lot of public speaking, it's like you have to have three voices that come out completely differently, but to the audience have to feel consistent. And that's your writing voice, your television voice, and then your live audience, because it's just so yeah. different. When you're looking into a camera, you don't have that audience smiling and laughing back at you. And so you have to, it's three different styles, but you have to make it sound like the same person.
Yeah, no. You put your heart and soul in this, so. You already had one smashing hit, right? Unbroken Bonds of Battle. But mm-hmm. tell us about Behind the Badge. Like, you could have written about a lot of things. Once you're a New York Times bestseller, you writer, you could write about a lot of things. Why Behind the Badge?
Because it's not about me. and neither was Unbroken Bonds of Battle. But they're both stories, collections of stories, of people that have been extremely influential in my life. So, for example, Unbroken Bonds of Battle had several of the guys I went to war with, along with other veterans that, you know, the guy that was beside me that died when I got blown up, his wife was in it. And each chapter kind of profiled these veterans and this Gold Star wife. Behind the Badge is actually from that same group of friends. So I've got a guy named Justin Heflin in there that was a Marine Corps EOD tech. He got out, became an Indiana State Patrolman. I've got my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, Keith Dempsey, has been a fireman for almost 30 years. He's in there. A guy that I grew up calling him Uncle Clay. I've known him my whole life since I was 3 years old. He's a fireman, paramedic, 911 call center, and he's in there. And the reason why I wrote the book is I was so humbled going on hunting trips and stuff like that with these guys and gals. There's a female in there that has an amazing story as well. But going on hunting trips with these guys and them explaining what their job was and what they're saying is their trauma, and they don't know it. They don't realize it. And it's this idea that they don't ever leave their battlefield. When they take their kids to school, they drive through an intersection where they saw a kid their kid's age pass away.
Yeah.
When they take their family to dinner, they drive past an apartment building that they went there every month to save dad from overdosing until the month that they couldn't. And so it's not always tragic. Sometimes it's there's a victory, but their battles are in their hometown, on the streets and in the buildings that they live in. And that slow, steady trickle of trauma, as opposed to me going to war and coming back to a country that looks nothing like the two countries I went to war in, it's just a very different experience. But the after effects, the post-traumatic stress is very similar.
Yeah, it takes a special kind of person, you know, when everything's just going along just fine, and then all of a sudden tragedy strikes, and you've got a group of people who will step up into the fray, deal with the moment, do so calm, cool, and collective. And it could be everything, you know. I've told the story in the past where, you know, most dramatic thing in my life was when our son-in-law, you know, jumped into our pool, hit his head, and I had to jump in and pull him out with my daughter.
Yeah.
And it's so hard, but, you know, they dialed 911, and then fortunately, they came running. They got there in a remarkably fast amount of time, but to do that day in and day out and deal with it professionally and make sure that they didn't make the situation worse.
Yeah.
That they made it better. I'm just forever grateful that there's people like that that will do that.
I am so grateful after writing this book, because in writing this book, I get to interview these folks and I read their stories. Then I respond to their stories and like bring the things out of it that I see, the themes or the points I wanted to make going into it. And honestly, I wrote the introduction to the book last, because I didn't feel right putting myself into this book. And then after reading all their stories and hearing all their stories and working with them, the introduction talks about the day my dad passed away. He came down, my grandmother passed away right before Thanksgiving, so they came down 2 weeks later to celebrate. And we got woken up on a Sunday morning, my mom's screaming. I kind of go back to my childhood from when they were arguing. I'm like, what in the world's happening? I jump in my wheelchair because I don't have my legs on at night, and I roll over to his room, and they're on the other side of the house, and he's laid out on the floor, and my sister got there just before me. She was down too, and she's doing chest compressions, so I relieve her. I start doing chest compressions, and then she starts doing mouth-to-mouth, and then it seems like 911 got there as soon as we called them. They were firemen, and ultimately, my dad passed away. But they kept his body functioning long enough to get him to the hospital and do the procedure they do. He had basically a heart attack and try to keep him alive. And weeks later, the command, I don't know if he was a chief or what he was, but the fireman in command that night saw me at like a Chick-fil-A getting in my truck, and he came over. He's like, "Hey, I'm so and so. I was at your house that night." He's like, "You know, when your dad was in trouble." I was like, "Oh, thank you." He goes, "I was just curious, you know, how'd that turn out?" I said, "Well, he passed away." Yeah. He said, "Man, I'm so sorry." And just to think, like, that was one of the worst days in my life, and that was a random Sunday night for him.
Right.
You know, and that was, for all I know, he had three other calls just like that night.
Yeah, no, he'll do it the next Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? So when you talk to these people, you've been around them, I kind of put you in that category, somebody who would do and serve what they did in their country. You may not like that, but that's my version of it. What is it about them that they gravitate to this and that they can do it? Now, I'm sure some people start and they got to stop because it's just too overwhelming. But what are the common denominators of somebody who's able to step up and serve like that?
The common denominator in this book, because I've got a Border Patrol search and rescue agent in there, a Maine game warden who had an amazing career. And in a place like Maine, game warden is really a misnomer. They do all the search and rescue and things like that. And he had to use his weapon in the line of duty.
They're usually out there by themselves.
Exactly. And so what the common denominator is, rather they come into it knowingly or not to stick with the job, and all of them in the book have, they eventually accept and appreciate the fact that the mission is more important than they are. And that the service provided is so important and necessary, somebody has to do it, it's going to be me. And I guess from that perspective, like going into EOD, I can understand that. That's how I felt going into taking bombs apart. The military can't make you do that. You have to volunteer to do it.
Right.
There was a lot of bravado. I was young. I was in my early 20s. And it was a special job that a lot of people respected. So I went into it in some ways because I wanted that adoration from people, and I wanted to say I do a job other people wouldn't do. But once it got real, then it quickly became about, you know what? Like, somebody's got to do this. Why not let it be me? You know? And that's the common denominator with all of these nine individuals.
You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Joey Jones right after this.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Kick off your week with straight-up facts. Tune in to KCNR every Monday at 6:35 a.m. for the Town Hall Brief during the Sue McClain News Hour. Known for unbiased reporting, we deliver the real deal on what's happening in our county. Crisp updates and honest discussions that matter. Got a tip? Email townhallbriefs@gmail.com or DM them at townhallbrief on linktree.com. The Town Hall Brief, your trusted source for local news. Monday mornings at 6:35 on KCNR.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Redding Colt 45s.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
A proud sponsor of the Redding Colt 45s.
Every year, over 200,000 cases of elder abuse are reported in California. It's estimated that out of every reported case, 24 remain unknown. Learn the signs, and if you suspect abuse and neglect or self-neglect, physical, mental, sexual, and financial abuse in a facility or in a home, visit ombudsman.org for more information. No abuse, report abuse. Brought to you by PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging, Long-Term Care Ombudsman.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Spring is sprung, and whether it's pollen, dust, dirt, or road grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has you covered. They offer car wash packages starting at $11, which includes a hand scrub pre-clean, a gentle automated pull-through wash, and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This is Jason in the house.
Boy, those 911 operators, I am so impressed by, right? All hell's breaking loose. Somebody's in their worst moment. It could be think of all the things that we can go going on, but all of a sudden you're going from 0 to 500 miles an hour and they got to coolly, calmly decipher what's going on, get the proper people in place. If you've got a man with a gun, running through a neighborhood, you got to be able to help direct traffic. And a lot of them, I would venture to say most of them, at least from my experience, are women. And to have that calm, cool, collective approach, it's just unbelievable to me, like how good they are at their job.
It's crazy. So in the book, I've got firemen, police officers, and everything. I stuck with the jobs that are the easiest to understand as first responders. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do paramedic because a lot of firemen are paramedics.
Right.
And I didn't have one close to me. These are all people that are close to me. But Clay Hedrick in the book, he's the first chapter. He was a duty fireman, which meant every 72 hours he worked a 24-hour shift. Hmm. On his 2 days off, he was an EMT riding the ambulance. In some municipalities, those are different entities, and some they're the same. So in his time off, he rode the ambulance as an EMT. And then he got divorced. He got custody of his sons, wanted to make a little bit more money. On his third day off, he worked at the 911 call center.
Oh, my gosh.
And of those three jobs, being a fireman running into burning buildings, being an EMT scraping people up off the pavement, the 911 call center was the one that he just couldn't do anymore. He said that's a different type of job. He said, listen, the stress of it was absolutely unbearable. He's like, you're talking to people. You're having that one-on-one interaction with people while they're going through their worst moment. He said the other side of it, too, that was so difficult is once everybody got cell phones, if there's a wreck on the interstate, now you've got 50 calls for the same incident, but you have to treat all 50 of them like they're a different incident because you don't know until you get enough information. And so you can't dismiss any of them. So just that like air traffic controller amount of stress of I've got 50 calls to get to, there's not enough of us, and it's just, he said it was just too stressful.
How do people who go through that, how do they deal with it? Like, I mean, these people, the people you're talking about, people behind the badge is the book. Behind the badge, they're going through this like, it may only be weekly, but for a lot of these people it's daily. If it depends on what kind of, some are rural situations, some are inner city situations. How do they deal with this time after time after time?
Well, there's a couple of aspects when it comes to our first response in this country that is uniquely American and also unique to every town. A sheriff's office in Texas is going to train completely differently than a sheriff's office in New York.
Yeah.
Same thing with your fire service. So like a fire service in my town in Georgia, that 78% of their calls are medical.
Yeah.
Now, there are some municipalities that have a different, completely different group of people that do just medical calls. But you don't have the budget for that with a smaller, even Dalton, Georgia, which is fairly big. I mean, you're talking 40,000 people in the city and over 100,000 that commute to it to work. So it's fairly big. But even there, all of your firefighters are EMTs. So they all have, or at least they're medical trained. And so any medical call, they're the ones that get there first. They may call for an ambulance, but they get there first. They're the first ones to respond. And the other side of it is, we're getting safer. Our buildings don't burn down as much.
Right.
So you come into the job thinking you're going to swing an axe in a burning building, very, very masculine, and you end up, getting somebody that's OD'd or getting somebody that's having a heart attack and it's not always pretty. They see the worst things that happen to us and they see the worst things that we do to each other.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I get going through these stories in my head. I don't even remember the question you asked me.
No, it's just like, how do they deal with it day to day,
yes.
And get past it? Because you do hear a lot about, And I don't know what the statistics are. My guess is they're not good, but you
very
know,
high.
Divorce and
very
alcoholism
high suicide.
Or, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. That you know, how do you deal with that? And
there's no magic answer, is there? Yeah, the answer to your question is they're not dealing with it, and that's a problem, and that's why we wrote the book. That's what inspired me to write the book. I would take these veterans that are closest to me, some of which are in unbroken bonds of battle, on a deer hunting trip because I couldn't get them to go to a retreat, and I couldn't get them to sit down and talk about their feelings, but I could get them to go hunt. Right. And when you go hunt, there's a lot of downtime by the fire. And, you know, I don't drink and I don't believe that you self-medicate, but you get a beer in somebody and they'll talk a little bit more. And so I started bringing these first responders in, Keith and Clay, the two firemen that are like brothers to me. And then I brought in others, Tommy Worrell, a Baltimore County SWAT instructor now. And what would happen is these veterans and first responders they'd have a one-on-one sidebar conversation, and they'd be a lot more vulnerable to each other, because if I'm a Marine, I'm not going to tell another Marine how I'm hurting, because he already knows.
Right.
But if it's a fireman, I've got so much respect for what he does that I don't mind sharing with him, because I know he's seen some stuff I couldn't imagine.
Right.
And vice versa. And on the first responder side, we've put 20 years of marketing and PR and free meal on Veterans Day into being patriotic for our military. And the first responders have zero jealousy of that. They don't consider themselves in that realm or at that level, to the point that they don't recognize it within their own ranks until it's too late. Some of the guys in the book, Clay Hedrick specifically, have made that the mission in their life of, hey, I had to get to a point where I recognized that I had PTSD or I wasn't going to make it. What can I do to get other guys to talk about it? And so that is, it's this grassroots movement, to where on the military side, it was a national, led by the government and everyone else. Hey, veterans are coming back with post-traumatic stress. We should take care of them. On the first responder side, it's a grassroots movement. It's happening inside the firehouse, inside the precinct. It's happening on the SWAT team. Hey, we got to talk about this and tell them that John needs help, or it's going to be too late. We're going to lose John. And that it's such an amazing thing to, I didn't know this until I wrote this book. I didn't understand it this well.
No, it's interesting you said that, because a few weeks ago, the Fraternal Order of Police had an event in Salt Lake City. It was the local Utah Fraternal Order of Police. But they also had some national folks that were in there as well. And they spent, I was impressed, because they spent a significant amount of time talking about mental health and dealing with the trauma and things that happen on the job that you just cannot forget. And, you know, you had an officer or two that went up there and kind of bore their soul and just talked about, you know, they had to go into one of the most horrific things they could ever imagine. You know, keep in mind, a lot of these things involve little kids.
The most vulnerable in our community are the ones that get hurt.
Yeah.
And how they get hurt is horrific. It's car crashes, it's domestic violence, and then it's worse, predators and things like that.
Yeah.
And they can go into a house where it's a domestic violence call and see the evidence of worse things happening.
Yeah.
And they have no... They don't have full authority. They can't arrest anyone. They call the cops. Cops come over. Somebody's got to press charges. There's technicalities to it. There's a great example of that from Steve Hennigan, who was LAPD. He was a Marine Corps, LAPD, and an LAPD bomb squad. And he gives a really good example of just, you know, you can't make somebody ask for help. And so what do you do? And Justin Heflin in there gives a good example of, he pulls his truck driver over. He's an older man. He's got a young girl in there that's like barefooted in the sleeper part of his cab. Come to find out, she's his stepdaughter, and he's got her ID. And there's all these reasons why Justin's like, something isn't right here. It's this woman being trafficked. And he got her alone and tried to talk to her, and it was completely adamant. There's nothing wrong. And to this day, like, he believes that was a nefarious situation, but out of fear or just believing that she should be in that situation, he couldn't get it from her, and they can't make her do it. So just to think about, like, the time after time, I went to war twice. I've spent more than a year at war. I've seen friends get blown up. I've seen friends die. I've seen Marines that I didn't know well get blown up and die. I've seen the enemy get blown up and die. two instances that haunt me to this day are children getting hurt needlessly. One was their parents dipped them in boiling water because some witch doctor told them that's how you get the demons out. And it was a toddler that couldn't talk. And then a nine-year-old little girl that fell out of a tree and onto an ID. And I had to go in and make sure there weren't other IDs around before the family could come retrieve her body. And there's no way to make sense of that. Every adult in this world has lost their innocence. So even if they're not guilty or bad, if they die in war or what have you, we've lived a life. When it's children that are completely innocent and haven't even had that opportunity to make a mistake, and to see their life getting taken away or to have them be mistreated, to do that for a living, I just couldn't do it. And that's why I wanted to write the book, because these are special people.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
We've got trade wars, rising costs, global chaos, and a skyrocketing national debt. It's no wonder gold keeps hitting record highs. With everything going on in the world, thousands of hardworking Americans are looking to help diversify their savings with precious metals like gold and silver. And they're turning to the top-rated gold company, GoldCo. Right now, GoldCo is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you could get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver if you qualify. Find out how you can diversify your savings tax and penalty-free today. Call 855-969-GOLD. That's 855-969-GOLD.
Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 50 and tired of your wireless bill getting higher and higher, there are four things to consider. One, how much data are you really using? As we get older, we use less data on our wireless phone, but you're probably still paying for an unlimited plan that was designed for 20-somethings. Two, if you see Get a Phone on Us, get your sneakers out and run the other way. No one is giving you a free phone. You are paying for that phone over time with an overpriced rate plan and a long-term commitment. Three, check the fine print on that $15 a month plan. It's probably an intro price that'll double or triple later. You might even have to pay for several months of service up front. Number four, beware of cable company wireless plans. Most of your usage will be on Wi-Fi instead of 5G, and your calls and battery life could suffer. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable, nationwide service without the big wireless bill. Our plans start at just $20 a month.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
People are curious about who we contact for our Fox News surveys. Many think we only reach out to Fox News viewers. That's definitely not the case. The people we interview have no idea it's for Fox. That's because we don't want to chance that it will nudge a respondent to answer questions one way or another. Our goal is to learn how everyone feels about the issues. We also don't contact people who have signed up to take polls. Instead, we use a random sample of voters, which means every voter who has a phone, mostly cell phones but also some landlines, has an equal chance of being contacted and sharing their views confidentially. It's how we ensure we get an accurate read of how the whole country truly feels. In fact, to ensure we're reaching everyone, we also send text messages so respondents can complete the survey online as well as phone. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with Fox Celebrity Profile with star and executive producer of Fox's Going Dutch, Dennis Leary. Leary shared some of his favorite fan feedback on the show.
You get it in the street, for me anyways. I thought the best one I heard was, this guy I play hockey with is an ex-military guy. So I was in the locker room. He walked in and he went, Colonel, your daughter is running rings around you. And I was like... That's a good review.
Leary also spoke about how filming on a real army base adds to the show's authenticity.
It was always funny because even when we were indoors at the buildings on the base, you know, there's real soldiers walking through when we call cut.
Yeah.
They might be cutting through the hallway or whatever. So they were always laughing at how bad our salutes were. So we were constantly reminded of how feeble we were when it came to actual military drilling.
Catch up on season one of Going Dutch on Hulu. Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
It's Jason in the House.
So the book is Behind the Badge, and yeah, and not to belabor this point, but when I was in Congress, we were doing all kinds of investigations and diving deeper into who does what and how. One of the things that I was just naive to, but not anymore, is that when you look at like child pornography, which is really, really disgusting, hard stuff, most people don't realize that ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, has to deal with that. And because if it's coming from overseas,
yeah,
and it's being sold or trafficked, that falls to ICE. The other one is the Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you have people say, oh, I'm going to get involved in the Secret Service. Oh, I want to go protect the border. I want to get involved in, you know, helping out with, you know, Immigration Customs Enforcement. But we have a lot of people, an untold number of people who end up having to deal with this. And I still don't think we have the proper solution to this, because when I visited in one ICE office, they had a room and I was taking a tour and they said, you can't go in there. And I said, why not? And they said, unfortunately, that's where we have to review like some really horrific stuff.
Yeah.
And if you see it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
And you don't want to see it.
Yeah.
I said, well, how do you guys deal with it? Because it was a small office. There, mm-hmm. there were not, he said, people take shifts. They have to go in there for just a few hours and then they're done for the week.
Yeah.
And then they come back. But it's still, and I've talked to Trey Gowdy, you know, mm-hmm. when you deal with prosecutors that have to go out and prosecute this stuff, yeah. he's like, yeah, I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't look at it.
Yeah.
Because it stays ingrained. And, somehow, some way, I don't know how we do it, but we got to figure out a way to take care of those people who are having to do that and figure out a way to be able to prosecute and determine these without tainting so many people.
Because yeah, maybe.
It's abnormal to think that yeah. you could go out, see that, look at it for a few hours, put together a case. I mean, you want to get these monsters off the street. You want to save these kids, protect yeah. these kids. But that is a very tough part of this equation we haven't figured out yet as a country.
It's that, take that what you're thinking, and then think about a local fireman that goes into the home of people
yeah.
on a domestic violence call. Because in my opinion, it's one thing to see it on a computer screen. It's another thing to see it, smell it, be around it. Someone's been murdered. Someone's been raped. You know, a child's been abused. And yeah. you're there to provide medical attention. Maybe the cops are there, maybe they aren't, maybe they're on their way. And what you want to do is you want to grab the nearest gun you can find and put the bullet in the head of the bad guy that's in front of you. Yeah. And you've got to treat that person for their medical problems because they came in drunk and did this terrible thing and then hurt themselves. And I don't know how they do it other than they go home and they look at their family and you just got to tell yourself, man, I'm so lucky to have them and they're so lucky to have me. I think about it all the time. My heart breaks for my daughter sometimes because when I'm with my daughter sometimes because I will never call myself a great dad, but I think I'm a good one. And I think about how many 6-year-old little girls are out there that doesn't have a dad or worse has a bad one. And how can that even be? And to think that your job is to know that and to experience that and be active in it and try to help people. You know, they're angels among us. They really are.
Yeah, it's amazing because I think their heart's in the right place and they do want to do the right thing. And I don't know, it's a special breed. We don't pay these people, that wear the badge, respond to the calls, that answer the 911s. We don't pay them enough. We don't thank them enough as a community. And the people I know, it's like you said earlier, they don't necessarily want or need the adulation, but they should get it.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, yeah, I guess just to tie a bow on it, we've had this fight politically, back to blue, defund the police. This book is kind of an aside from that. If you read this book, you're not worried about which side you're on. You get to learn who these people are, and then it's a no-brainer. You know, they're bad apples of anything. But that does not negate the heroism and sacrifice of the profession. And these are non
outstanding examples of just that.
So usually when you write a book, you start with the premise. You probably, like you said, you knew these people. But by the time you get to the end of it, and now to the point that it's, you know, now just becoming available for sale, you've kind of learned something new that you didn't maybe necessarily know at point A. And now that you're at point B, what was that for you?
We covered it, and I'm happy to reiterate it. I did not know how first responders were taking it upon themselves to engage their peers to say, let's talk this out. Let's go get help. It is such a grass. It's almost embarrassing, and I'm ashamed of the fact that it has to be so grassroots. But you're talking about someone who has no training. He just was able to figure it out on his own, talking to his buddy because he sees the signs in his buddy.
Right.
And then your local fire chief says, hey, that's a good thing. We're all going to do that. And they almost have to do it that way because there's so much of a stigma against the medical professionals to come in. Like if a shrink or a wizard, what we call them in the military, if they come in, they're going to be really guarded. They're only going to talk to other first responders. And so to know that, one, it's kind of negative. Hey, there should be something bigger going on. But two, it sure is reassuring, and it makes them even more heroic that they're taking it upon themselves and they're doing it at their shift level, at their department level, at their municipality level to take care of each other.
Yeah, that's good. Behind the badge, Joey Jones. Well, it says Johnny Joey Jones. The more people call you Johnny, am I supposed to be calling you Johnny or Joey?
No, my official name on the record books is Johnny Joseph. I grew up as Joey. So when I got hurt, all my Marines called me Johnny and all my family called me Joey. So we just kept both of them so nobody would be confused. But friends call me Joey.
All right. I was afraid you were going to say, but you can call me Mr. Jones.
Staff Sergeant.
Staff Sergeant
never,
Jones.
Never.
Yeah, listen, congratulations. I'm sure it's going to be a huge hit. Behind the badge, answering the call to serve on America's home front. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. I can't thank Joey enough. This is going to be a great book. I look forward to reading it, hearing these stories. I always get inspired. You know what I get inspired by? I get inspired by ordinary Americans who do extraordinary things. And that's what this book sounds like. So I'm really excited about that. Hopeful that you can rate this podcast. That'd be helpful to me and to the show. I would appreciate it. And also want to encourage you and remind you that you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Thanks again for listening to us. Love having Joey on. And coming up, I've got my own book coming out. It's coming out July 1st, and this one, boy, I spent nearly 2 years putting together, and you're going to love this one. This gets really, really deep into it, and I'm not revealing it yet, but tune in, because before the end of the month, we're going to start talking about that one as well. Again, like the podcast, rate it, review it, subscribe to it, and join us again next week. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
What do you call charging thousands of dollars for hearing aids? At MD Hearing, we call it outrageous. Because hearing should not be a privilege for the rich. It's a basic need everyone deserves. Hi, I'm Dr. Sandra Porfs, head of audiology at MD Hearing. If you or a loved one have trouble hearing but don't want to waste thousands for a hearing aid, MD Hearing was created for you by doctors and audiologists. A high-quality, FDA-registered hearing aid for a fraction of the price. No costly doctor visits, no expensive and time-consuming fittings, no bulky, old-fashioned hearing aids that cost thousands. The MD Hearing Neo is just $297 per pair. It's rechargeable and fits discreetly in your ear. Even better, it lets you hear what you've been missing at a savings of more than 90% off the average price of a traditional hearing aid.
Try MD Hearing risk-free for 45 days by calling 800-918-3920. Plus, you'll get free shipping. Call now, 800-918-3920. That's 800-918-3920.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large and industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The U.S. launched airstrikes on three Iranian nuclear sites yesterday. At the Pentagon this morning, Joint Chiefs Chairman General Dan Kane offered an initial assessment.
Final battle damage will take some time, but initial battle damage assessments indicate that all three sites sustained extremely severe damage and destruction.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says now is the time for the Iranian regime to embrace peace.
As President Trump has stated, the United States does not seek war. But let me be clear. We will act swiftly and decisively when our people, our partners, or our interests are threatened. Iran should listen to the President of the United States and know that he means it, every word.
The Pentagon says the goal of the mission was not regime change. President Trump's job approval seems to be in the eye of the beholder.
Friday's Real Clear Politics average of 13 high-profile polls has President Trump's job approval at 46.4%. Drilling down, his mark is almost a full percentage point higher than his two-term predecessors, Presidents Obama and Bush, on a same-day comparison. Also, within Mr. Trump's numbers are three polls which indicate a significant approval above 50%, according to Rasmussen, Insider Advantage, and RMG Research. Three other polls have Mr. Trump near the break-even point within a 5% margin of error. George Williams reporting.
Medical authorities issuing some new guidance on diet. Everybody needs protein. It is vital. But how much you need depends on age, weight, and nutritional situation. Despite the increasing range of protein-enriched foods that are being pushed to consumers now, experts say if you're getting enough to eat generally, you're probably getting enough protein. Protein can be found in a wide variety of foods. Don't overdo it. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare, and I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call. I guarantee we take you as a client. We'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing. Attorneys, this was meant to be funny, so please don't sue me, especially my friend Kenneth from Black River Falls, Wisconsin.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454.
Music streaming service Deezer says it will start flagging albums with AI-generated songs. Part of its fight against streaming fraudsters. The Paris-based company is grappling with a surge in music on its platform, created purely with generative artificial intelligence tools that it says are being used to fraudulently earn royalties. The app will display an on-screen warning label about AI-generated content and notify listeners that some tracks on an album were created with AI. The company says that kind of music in the industry is a big problem. Europe is often called the world's museum, but the ever-increasing visitors it draws have made it ground zero for concerns about over-tourism. The travel industry has gone from pandemic bust to record-setting surges in 2025. Last year, 747 million international travelers visited the continent, according to UN figures, with southern and western Europe taking in more than 70%. News and analysis at townhall.com. A deadly hot air balloon crash in Brazil.
8 people are dead, 13 injured, after a hot air balloon tumbled from the sky in southern Brazil. Video shows billows of smoke coming from the balloon in flames as it plummets toward the ground in Praia Grande in the state of Santa Catarina Saturday morning. The military fire brigade says 21 people were on board, including the pilot. Praia Grande is a common destination for hot air ballooning. The governor of Santa Catarina State said in a video on X that, "We are mourning and to do as much as possible to rescue." I'm Donna Warder.
Today is Sunday, June the 22nd, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including legendary newsman Brett Hume. He's 82 years old, as is actor Klaus Maria Brandauer. Musician Todd Rundgren turns 77 today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com. The Fred Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
President Trump cut his time in Canada short, leaving the international G7 summit a day early as tensions between Iran and Israel continue to escalate, more attacks both ways. Before boarding Air Force One, President Trump telling reporters he wasn't looking for a ceasefire anymore, but, quote, something better.
You just posted right before we took off that you're not leaving because of a ceasefire. Why are you? Can you elaborate?
We're looking at better than a ceasefire. We're not looking for a ceasefire. I didn't say I was looking for a ceasefire. That was Emmanuel, nice guy, but he doesn't get it right too often. But we're looking for better.
You're not going to invest in this conflict at this stage. You're going to do anything more for Israel right now?
We're doing pretty well. Right now, we're doing pretty well.
What specifically is better than a ceasefire? What are you looking for here?
An end. A real end, not a ceasefire. An end.
So something that would be permanent.
President is now calling for Iran's unconditional surrender, posting on Truth Social that the location of Iran's so-called supreme leader, in the president's words, is known, and warning that patience is running thin. Meantime, in a Minneapolis suburb, a shocking act of political violence has stunned the nation. Authorities say Vance Bolter was posing as a police officer when he showed up to the homes of State Representative Melissa Hortman and State Senator John Hoffman and opened fire on them, tragically killing the state representative and her husband and injuring Mr. Hoffman and his wife. To discuss this and more, we bring in our panel, USA Today White House correspondent Francesca Chambers, Fox News senior political analyst Juan Williams, and host of the Big Ben Show podcast and editor of The Spectator, Ben Domenech. All right, Ben, it does seem like this is bubbling up, and the president is not hiding the way he appears to be leaning. Not to say that this is all going to happen, but it very well could that the U.S. Has some action inside Iran.
Certainly, Brett, and I think that this has been something that we've been observing for a long time. It's obviously an issue that the president himself has been very vocal about. The White House chose to make a point overnight of sending out a litany of times that the president has reiterated his belief that Iran cannot be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. And I take that as being an indication, a signal, to those who support him, that they should not be listening to the faction within the right that has issues with the president doing what he has done. Essentially, to this point, support of Israel, a clear engagement in terms of providing information, but also, in terms of their defensive posture. But he also clearly has the potential to go further than this. And it's a point of leverage that I think the president always tends to use when he has the opportunity to use it. Look, I look at this situation as one that is very predictable if you actually were paying attention to what Donald Trump has been saying about foreign policy, particularly regarding Iran, for the last decade. And if you weren't paying attention to that, I don't understand why, because, you know, when he's clear about things, he tends to be very clear. And this is one of those areas where he has been the most consistent. So I'm not surprised by the posture that he's adopting here, even if it does surprise some members of his own party and coalition. But I think that it's also one that is mindful of the risks involved. And it's one of the reasons that he was hesitant about this to begin with and wanted to have the process play out.
You know, Francesca, it's interesting to watch the political dynamic inside the Trump base, and there's clearly a split, a divide in MAGA about this decision, whatever he eventually makes. And it doesn't seem to be phasing him. He's pushed back publicly, saying Iran can never have a nuclear bomb many times, to Ben's point. And even going so far as to push back directly to Tucker Carlson.
And what was interesting about this today, Brett, is that he seemed to employ the vice president to make this message today, or rather J.D. Vance decided to get involved on social media today. It's unclear which of those two things happened. But J.D. Vance entering the conversation and saying some of what Ben just said, that this is a position that the president has long held, and that he has said that Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon, and that he said many times that they can do this the easy way diplomatically, or that they can do this the hard way. I think what is splitting MAGA right now, though, is that they feel like where the movement is currently, and another thing he campaigned on, was ending these quote-unquote endless wars. And when you've seen his response to other conflicts, such as the Russia-Ukraine war, it has been to say, I want the killing to stop. I want to see this conflict come to an end. Prior to the last few days, he had been saying when it came to Israel and Iran, or just Iran, when it came to the nuclear talks that they were taking place, that he wanted to see some sort of a deal there. I mean, the United States, even up until last weekend, was still trying to get to the nuclear negotiating table with Iran. And so, there is a split that's taking place over which of those two directions that President Trump should go at this point. And I would also note, Brett, that this is an extremely fluid situation, that it's changing hour by hour up here over at the White House where I am currently.
Yeah, the National Security Council meeting in the Situation Room. And again, Juan, you know, whatever decision is made, if it is a decision to go after nuclear facilities, it would likely be the B-2 bomber delivering those 30,000-pound MOP bombs, massive ordnance penetrator, to get at those facilities.
That's right. That's what apparently Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel wants, because the Israelis don't have that equipment, and that's what it would take. I think that there's a lot going on here, and I think, you know, I heard what Ben said, but I think that they're in the president's mind. He has not wanted to take the risk of U.S. intervention for a very strong reason. I mean, everybody remembers what happened, you know, not only in Iraq in 2003 with President Bush, but you could go back and come forward from that to Libya and Omar Gaddafi, and the question becomes one of regime change. If somehow the Iranians agree to the president's call for unconditional surrender, exactly who would they be surrendering to? would this mean, you can't imagine that Israeli forces would be on the ground. NATO forces? I don't think so. So is it U.S. forces on the ground? Are we talking about regime change? You know, in the case of Gaddafi, that led to years of chaos. And, of course, we saw what happened in Iraq when President Bush said mission accomplished. It was not at that time. The fighting went on. So my sense is that what we've heard from Ben and Francesca is right. I think Vice President Vance has folded on the idea that let's hold back. I think that now the momentum is with this administration going forward as an ally to Israel in taking out the potential nuclear facilities that exist in Iran. I must quickly add here that the president had to contradict Tulsi Gabbard, who testified, I believe, in March, that she didn't believe that the Iranians were any place close to having that capacity. And the Wall Street Journal reports today that American intelligence to this moment does not agree with Israeli intelligence reports that say that the Iranians are close to having that capacity.
Yeah, it was late March.
Go ahead, Ben. Weigh in on that for just a second. I think it was telling that J.D. Vance, when he sort of weighed in on social media, as Francesca made reference to, he made a point of defending DNI Gabbard on this point, saying that what she said at the time is not inconsistent with what he believes and what the president believes today, and that obviously there's been some time since that March testimony. One thing, though, that I think is very true is that the Israelis have always believed that the Iranians were closer than the general assessment of the American intelligence community. And so I think that that is a gap there where the president essentially ended up on the Israeli side of this argument. And to Juan's point, and I think this is very important, the truth is that Donald Trump had been inconsistent about the Iraq war and the Afghanistan war. He was not inconsistent about this Iranian nuclear threat. And I think that one of the reasons for that is that a lot of people thought those wars were going to turn out differently than they did and perhaps not have the kind of length of time, length of investment of American resources that they had that allowed them to be categorized by critics as forever wars. The thing that I think is going on here at this particular moment is the president sees an opportunity to end the nuclear threat of Iran. The vice president and others on his security team believe that this is something that should be a priority because of the ramifications if they do not take this opportunity when the Iranian regime seems to be at its weakest point that it has ever been, really since the point where they involved themselves in so many of these proxy conflicts across the globe. And so I think that in this moment, there is a little bit more of a window for people who have been critics of these wars in the past, including J.D. Vance, including many others within the Republican Party, to say, if this is the shot to take to make sure that the Iranians do not have this type of capability, maybe now is the time to do it.
Yeah. Francesca, I mean, there just is this thought about what comes next. You know, say they drop the bombs, Israel continues the assault, but what happens on the ground? What's the next step? Is there fallout from hitting these facilities? You know, nuclear fallout, frankly.
Israelis have been consistent in saying that they're not asking the United States for military support here. That would be up to the United States. And if that's something that President Donald Trump decides he wants to do, the way that the U.S. has been involved is to help with defensive operations. Meanwhile, the U.S. has made it quite clear that in President Trump's view, that I don't want to call it a red line per se, but the thing that would be activating for him would be if any American assets were touched, if any Americans were harmed in this. And right now, the president, I mean, he's tweeting, we can see it, or Truth Socialing in real time what his thoughts are. And you heard the State Department today saying, like, they're not going to try and characterize those things. You just have to take President Trump at his word And you have to see, you can see where his thinking is in real time, Brett, by looking at what he's saying in those social media posts. We know, as you were referencing, that the president met with his national security team earlier this afternoon. That meeting has since concluded. Just to give you a behind the scenes sense of just how much we're trying to read the tea leaves over here about what that might mean. Brett, you covered the White House for a long time. You know that when we see the Marine outside of the West Wing, that tells you that the president is in the West Wing. And when the Marine's not there, that he might not be in there. And you have a situation where reporters are actually out there looking to see, is he in the West Wing currently? Is he in the Situation Room? Where might he be based on where this Marine is? And what does that mean for news that might be coming?
Yeah, you're always trying to read what's happening in these moments. Meantime, Juan, the big, beautiful bill is being unleashed on Capitol Hill and the Senate side, and the president is saying he wants it on his desk by the 1st of August.
Well, it's an ambitious date, in part because right now it looks like there's stronger opposition forming on the Republican side in the Senate, and largely over deficit spending. But also there's some concern about the political implications of, you know, social safety net cuts and specific Medicaid. So I think there are lots of people who have questions and want to be reassured. The House bill as it stands, the one that passed earlier this month, does not look to have much of a shot in the Senate. So you're talking about negotiations between House and Senate. And, of course, everyone is looking to the White House and President Trump. At the moment, the thought on Capitol Hill is he's a busy man. He's got the potential for some serious business in the Middle East to attend to. So they're not expecting him to be the so-called closer, but it may take him just asserting once again how important this is for the Republican Party, that they would have some success here. And he's going to have to speak to those very strong, increasingly strong number of naysayers in the Senate.
Yeah, final word here, Ben. Obviously, you can walk and chew gum if you're an administration that has to deal with big issues. But there's a lot of big issues happening. The immigration situation out west with the National Guard being called in, the battles around courtrooms around the country on a number of policy fronts, and obviously the wars overseas.
I realize that Donald Trump can compartmentalize better perhaps than any modern politician. But this is quite a lot to have on your plate all at the same time. At the same time, I would say to Juan, I think this bill is too important for him to let it lapse. I think he will lean into that to the greatest degree necessary. And I think that it will get through. I think it's an inevitability that it will get through. But I will say that this current tactic in terms of this past week, really did seem like to me a slap in the face to Ron Johnson and to some of the other folks who have sounded fiscal alarms around this bill, particularly given that it seemed like they were more and more indicating that they were willing to play ball. So that's something that needs to change in order for it to pass. I think it will find its way to passage. But yes, they are definitely being asked to walk, chew gum, and dance with the plates.
Yeah, spin the
on
plates.
A regular basis.
There you go. All right, panel, thanks. Now for a bit of history. On June 18th, 1983, Sally Ride becomes the first American woman to go to space. Though she initially pursued a professional tennis career, Sally Ride shifted gears in 1977 when she saw a newspaper ad from NASA calling for young, tech-savvy scientists. After being accepted, Ride worked as an on-the-ground capsule communicator for 2 years before becoming a part of the STS-7 crew, where she served as a mission specialist aboard the Challenger space shuttle and became the first American woman to launch into space. That'll do it for this week. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download your podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. For Francesca, Ben, and Juan, I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Hi. I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 50 and tired of your wireless bill getting higher and higher, there are four things to consider. One, how much data are you really using? As we get older, we use less data on our wireless phone, but you're probably still paying for an unlimited plan that was designed for 20-somethings. Two, if you see Get a Phone on Us, get your sneakers out and run the other way. No one is giving you a free phone. You are paying for that phone over time with an overpriced rate plan and a long-term commitment. Three, check the fine print on that $15 a month plan. It's probably an intro price that'll double or triple later. You might even have to pay for several months of service up front. Number four, beware of cable company wireless plans. Most of your usage will be on Wi-Fi instead of 5G, and your calls and battery life could suffer. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable, nationwide service without the big wireless bill. Our plans start at just $20 a month.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLew is here for you. With DebtLew's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLew are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with Fox Celebrity Profile with star and executive producer of Fox's Going Dutch, Dennis Leary. Leary shared some of his favorite fan feedback on the show.
You get it on the street, for me anyways. I thought the best one I heard was, this guy I play hockey with is an ex-military guy. So I was in the locker room. He walked in and he went, Colonel, your daughter is running rings around you. And I was like... That's a good review.
Leary also spoke about how filming on a real army base adds to the show's authenticity.
It was always funny because even when we were indoors at the buildings on the base, you know, there's real soldiers walking through when we call cut.
Yeah.
They might be cutting through the hallway or whatever. So they were always laughing at how bad our salutes were. So we were constantly reminded of how feeble we were when it came to actual military drilling.
Catch up on season one of Going Dutch on Hulu. Ashley DeVorkin, Fox News.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A teenager who rescued a paddleboarder out at sea makes today's Dean's List. 14-year-old Oscar didn't miss a moment when he saw Gavin Bowden struggling after being struck on the head by his board in the heavy surf. Oscar is a junior member of the Sawton Sands Surf Life Saving Club and saved the life of 60-year-old Gavin by himself. Oscar got Gavin onto his board after the incident, keeping him floating, and was able to signal to shore to get help. He remained in the water with Gavin for over half an hour in the pounding waves until help arrived. Gavin was transported to the hospital, and when he was released, had the chance to meet Oscar and thank him for saving his life. He hugged him and said he was a hero. Gavin says he couldn't move after being hit and cried for help, just hoping someone could hear him. Oscar says his training with the surf club helped him in that moment and gave him the determination to lift Gavin onto his board. Well done, Oscar. You made today's Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1986.
Despite our repeated warnings, Gaddafi continued his reckless policy of intimidation, his relentless pursuit of terror. He counted on America to be passive. He counted wrong.
Engines throttling up. 3 engines now at 104%.
Challenger, go with throttle up.
Flight controllers here looking very carefully at the situation. Obviously a major malfunction.
An official announcement from the Council of Ministers. There has been an accident at the Chernobyl Atomic Power Station.
Clearly, this disease, which strikes men and women, children and adults, people of all races, must be stopped. It is estimated that 1.5 million people are now infected with the AIDS virus.
The United States has not swapped boatloads of plane loads of American weapons for the return of American hostages, and we will not.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
Thank you.
Bear Show with Fox News chief political anchor, Brett Bear.
A special day.
Today I was running to CVS in downtown because my daughter had a stomach bug and was vomiting all night long. So I was just like, okay. Like, my wife was up at 3 a.m.
J.J. Spahn's Father Day, he had started in chaos but ended with a miracle. Spahn began the morning. It was a tough start. He bogeyed five holes. He was taking care of his sick daughter. And then this. Finishing the day, 64-foot putt to win the U.S. Open. Congratulations.
Heavy snow fell in Washington, D.C. the night before John F. Kennedy's inauguration, but thoughts of canceling the plans were overruled. On January 20th, 1961, he stood in the bitter cold on the steps of the Capitol and before a crowd of 20,000 was sworn in as the 35th President of the United States.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist and host of the Janice Dean Podcast. Join me every Sunday as I focus on stories of hope and people who are truly rays of sunshine in their community and across the world. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
America's listening to Fox News. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
This is Jason Chaffetz from the Jason in the House podcast. Join me every Monday to dive deeper into the latest political headlines and chat with remarkable guests to hear their take on American life, politics, and entertainment. And don't forget, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com
or wherever you download podcasts.
Must listen to podcasts from Fox News Audio. Around the world,
Trey Yingst joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel,
to Washington.
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If the story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1969.
We find ourselves rich in goods, but ragged in spirit. Reaching with magnificent precision for the moon, but falling into raucous discord on Earth.
I have decided to order the immediate redeployment from Vietnam of the division equivalent of approximately 25,000 men.
At the inquest, I responded as completely and as truthfully as I could to the questions that were put to me by the judge as well as the district attorney.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. I'm going to step off the land now. It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
This is the largest group of people ever assembled in one place.
Good morning. Well, we have
in mind is breakfast in bed for 400,000.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. It's been almost half a century since San Jose teacher Diane Peterson was stabbed to death in the hallway of her school, but now police say they've cracked the case. On June 16, 1978, a student found Peterson on the floor near her classroom with a single stab wound to her chest. Earlier this week, the Santa Clara District Attorney's Office said that Harry Nicky Nickerson was the person who stabbed her. He was 16 years old at the time and a longtime suspect. A witness had told police that Nickerson had confessed to the crime and that he had seen him carrying a knife that had written on it, "Teacher Dear," but the claim went unverified. In 1983, another student claimed he saw the killing and the attack happened because Peterson caught Nickerson selling drugs, but he then recanted that allegation. Just this year, investigators met with one of Nickerson's family members who admitted Nickerson came to their home minutes after the killing and confessed to the stabbing. Nickerson committed suicide in 1993. There's more on the story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
Joining us now, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Mr. Prime Minister, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Bret.
First of all, let me start at the beginning. Why did you launch this operation now?
Because we were facing an imminent threat, a dual existential threat. One, the threat of Iran rushing to weaponize their enriched uranium to make atomic bombs with a specific and declared intent to destroy us. Second, a rush to increase their ballistic missile arsenal into the capacity that they would have 3,600 weapons a year, new weapons, within 3 years, 10,000 ballistic missiles, each one weighing a ton, coming in at Mach 6, right into our cities, and then in 6 years, 20,000. That's no country can sustain that, and certainly not a country the size of Israel. So we had to act. It was the 12th hour. We did act to save ourselves, but also, I think, to not only protect ourselves, but protect the world from this incendiary regime. We can't have the world's most dangerous regime have the world's most dangerous weapons. We're protecting ourselves, but by doing so, we're protecting many others.
You know, I just want to press you on the intel on the nuclear part. Less than 2 months ago, the new director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, testified on Capitol Hill saying that everything had been suspended since 2003 and had not restarted, that the nuclear program had not been restarted by the Iranians. So did something change from end of March until this week? Was the U.S. intel wrong?
The intel we got and we shared with the United States was absolutely clear. It was absolutely clear that they were working in a secret plan to weaponize the uranium. They were marching very quickly. They would achieve a test device and possibly an initial device within months and certainly less than a year. That was the intel we shared with the United States. I think we have excellent intel in Iran. I think we've proven that. And that is something that we couldn't possibly accept. Whether it would be 6 months or 12 months or 13 months is immaterial. Once they go that route, it's too late. Mm-hmm. And we will not have a second Holocaust, a nuclear Holocaust. We already had one in the previous century. The Jewish state is not going to have the Holocaust meted on the Jewish people. It's not going to happen. It's never again is now, and we have to act now.
What is the goal of these strikes? You talked early in one of your speeches after the attacks began with a message directly to the Iranian people. Clearly, some of these strikes have targeted Iranian leadership, military, nuclear scientists, and other leaders. So is regime change part of the effort here?
Could certainly be the result because the Iran regime is very weak. I think it's basically left with two things. It's plans to have atomic bombs and ballistic missiles. That's basically what Iran has. They certainly don't have the people. 80% of the people would throw these theological thugs out. I mean, they murder them. They oppress them for 46 years. They've yearned for freedom. I mean, they shoot women because their hair is uncovered. They shoot students. They just suck the oxygen from this brave and gifted people, the Iranian people. And, you know, the Persian people and the Jewish people have had an ancient friendship. It goes back to the times of Cyrus the Great. It could happen again. But, again, the decision to act to rise up at this time is the decision of the Iranian people. We decided to act because we had to, we saw enough uranium, enriched uranium for 9 bombs. And all they had to do was weaponize them. We stopped that by attacking, we're attacking their nuclear sites. We attacked their chief nuclear scientist working. It's like Hitler's nuclear scientists. Would you leave them? Of course not. We attacked their top command. I can inform you, Brett, that moments ago, we also got the chief intelligence officer and his deputy in Tehran because we're now over the skies of Tehran. Our pilots, our brave pilots, are over the skies of Tehran, and we're targeting military sites, nuclear sites. That's what we're doing to take out those two threats. Unlike the Iranians, who your reporter said correctly, they're targeting our civilians.
Yeah.
They're bombing our civilians. So that's the difference. They're a terrorist regime. We can't have Iran have nuclear weapons. And by the way, our intel shows that they intend to give these nuclear weapons to their Houthi proxies and others. And that's nuclear terrorism on a global scale. It threatens everyone. And the last thing is they have plans to develop intercontinental ballistic missiles. Right now, 8,000 kilometers, very soon, just add a little distance, and they can reach the eastern seaboard of the United States. These people who chant death to America, try to assassinate President Trump twice, killed 241 of your Marines in Beirut, killed and injured thousands of American soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq, try to bomb a restaurant in Washington, D.C., chant death to America, burn the American flag. Do you want these people to have nuclear weapons and the means to deliver them to your cities? Of course not.
Yeah.
So we're defending ourselves, but we're also defending the world.
I want to talk about the nuclear threat, and I want to talk about President Trump. You just said Iran tried to assassinate President Trump twice. Do you have intel that the assassination attempts on President Trump were directly from Iran?
Through proxies, yes. Through their intel, yes. They want to kill him. Look, he's enemy number one. He's a decisive leader. He never took the path that others took to try to bargain with them in a way that is weak, giving them basically a pathway to enrich uranium, which means a pathway to the bomb, padding it with billions and billions of dollars. He took up this fake agreement and basically tore it up. He killed the Qasem Soleimani. He said, made it very clear, including now, you cannot have a nuclear weapon, which means you cannot enrich. He's been very forceful. So for them, he's enemy number one.
Yeah.
Look, they also tried to kill me, but I'm his junior partner.
They understand
that President Trump is a great threat to Iran's plans to weaponize nuclear weapons and use them.
When did you tell President Trump you were going to launch these strikes?
Look, I've been in constant contact with President Trump. We've known each other for many years. And obviously, we informed our American friends and President Trump, our great friend, ahead of time. We did. He knew about it, of course.
I mean, there are reports that President Trump kind of helped you achieve your strategic surprise by publicly urging you not to attack when he already knew you had decided to do it. So you were closely coordinating with the U.S. throughout this process.
Look, we're fully coordinated, but understand that America, under President Trump, will make the decisions that are best for America. That's the way it is. He understands that I, as the Prime Minister of Israel, the one and only Jewish state, must make the decisions that are important for the survival of my country, and he will do what is best for America. That is a relationship of mutual respect and mutual confidence.
Does Israel have the capacity to strike Iran's nuclear sites deep underground?
Well, we've certainly done quite a bit. We've destroyed the main facility in Natanz. That's the main enrichment facility. And if we need to, we'll add whatever is needed. But yes, we're committed to achieving both goals, and I'm not going to get into all of our objectives. I don't want to get into specific operational plans, but it's our existence, but not only ours. I think it's a wider battle here of civilization against barbarism, of good against bad. I mean, this regime, look at what it's done without nuclear weapons. It just fomented evil everywhere. I mean, they've pushed international terrorism to the hilt into every part of the Middle East, in Syria, in Iraq, Lebanon, where they had Hezbollah, Hamas, where they encouraged the Houthis, the great massacre of October 7th, the Houthis. That's what they're doing when they don't have nuclear weapons, including attacking American targets. Now imagine what they'll do if they had nuclear weapons. And I'm always amazed at people who say they care about America and they don't want a war. They're right. This is a forever war that Iran is doing without nuclear weapons. And imagine what they will do if they have them. I think for the security of Israel, America, the world, we must make sure that they don't have these weapons and the means to deliver them. And they're working on both.
Well, I just want to ask you about the nuclear sites. Fordo nuclear enrichment facility located deep inside a mountain. These are from Iranian nuclear experts. Inside this mountain near Qom, Esfahan, deeply buried facility where Iran stores its highly enriched uranium. In some ways, experts say it might even be more important than Fordo. The IAEA says it's a half mile deep. So I guess the question is, if the goal is destroying Iran's nuclear program, how do you do so without the 30,000-pound bunker buster bombs that really only the U.S. has? Have you asked President Trump to use that 30,000-pound penetrating or bomb to get to those facilities?
I'm not going to get into my discussions with the president, but understand that his decisions are his decisions. As for these targets, we've destroyed in Isfahan the conversion facility they had. That's a very important facility that without which you can't really build a weapon. That's gone. There are other plans that we have. I won't get into it. I think Israel has shown that it has well, how should I say it? We're the innovation nation. We're called that, startup nation. So we have quite a few startups and quite a few rabbits up our sleeve, and I don't think that I should get into that.
Okay. Well, I mean, are you getting everything from the U.S. that you've asked for? Is there something that you've asked for that you're not getting?
What I'll say this is that I deeply appreciate President Trump's decision to help in the defense of Israel. American pilots are shooting down drones that are headed towards Israel, as do our pilots. American THAAD missile batteries are helping defend Tel Aviv and greater Tel Aviv area. American Aegis ships are in the Mediterranean. That's all a decision by President Trump, which I deeply appreciate. Again, his decisions on what to do at any given time is the president's decision. I trust his judgment completely.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Warning, the national debt is spiraling out of control. Trade wars are causing record volatility, and inflation could make a devastating comeback. Will you sit on the sidelines and wait, or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? And what if you could do it tax and penalty-free? Find out more by requesting your free 2025 gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Plus, you could get an unlimited instant match on bonus silver if you qualify. Call 855-969-GOLD to learn more. That's 855-969-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 50 and tired of your wireless bill getting higher and higher, there are four things to consider. One, how much data are you really using? As we get older, we use less data on our wireless phone, but you're probably still paying for an unlimited plan that was designed for 20-somethings. Two, if you see Get a Phone on Us, get your sneakers out and run the other way. No one is giving you a free phone. You are paying for that phone over time with an overpriced rate plan and a long-term commitment. Three, check the fine print on that $15 a month plan. It's probably an intro price that'll double or triple later. You might even have to pay for several months of service up front. Number four, be aware of cable company wireless plans. Most of your usage will be on Wi-Fi instead of 5G, and your calls and battery life could suffer. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable nationwide service without the big wireless bill. Our plans start at just $20 a month.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto paying e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
It's time to take the quiz.
It's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We asked people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
What is the name of the coffee shop in the sitcom Friends?
Mel's Diner.
Central Perk.
The answer?
Central Perk. Either way, you can always try again tomorrow. Take the quiz every day at thequiz.fox, then come back here to see how you did.
And thank you for taking the quiz.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Jana Steen, Fox News senior meteorologist and host of the Jana Steen Podcast. Join me every Sunday as I focus on stories of hope and people who are truly rays of sunshine in their community and across the world. Be sure to subscribe to the Jana Steen Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
America's listening to Fox News. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
This is Jason Chaffetz from the Jason in the House podcast. Join me every Monday to dive deeper into the latest political headlines and chat with remarkable guests to hear their take on American life, politics, and entertainment. And don't forget, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com
or wherever you download podcasts.
Must listen to podcasts from Fox News Audio.
Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
Do you have any estimate on how much you have set back Iran's nuclear program?
I think we've set them back quite a bit. I think they were completely surprised. And, you know, surprise is a great element of success. Remember the Pragers? Remember Nasrallah? That's part of breaking up the Iranian axis. And we achieved that with surprise. And I think we achieved a great surprise the other day when we started. You know, we could wait and wait and wait. They'd string along the negotiations. We gave them a chance. I gave them a chance. But it was clear they were not serious about it. It became clear, I think, to the United States as well, because the president was very clear. He said, you can't have nuclear weapons. And in order not to have nuclear weapons, you can't enrich uranium. And they basically strung everybody along, and it was clear to us it was going nowhere. I could wait and wait and wait until they officially declared that the talks were off, or they, you know, and we'd officially declare that we're going to attack them. That's not how I conduct wars, and it's not how Israel conducts wars. So we're, you know, we're geared to do whatever is necessary to achieve our dual aim, to remove two existential threats. The nuclear threat and the ballistic missile threat. And we're doing that as we speak now in Tehran, but we're not bombing the population. We're telling the population, leave. So when we hit the targets embedded in civilian areas, you won't be hurt. And there is now mass migration from Tehran right now. That's what's happening. So because we're giving them forewarning.
Mr. Prime Minister, what proportion of Iranian air defenses do you think you've taken out? Back in October, the air defenses were really decimated. Now you say you have kind of control of the skies as you're picking these targets, yet these missiles and drones are still coming your way as they attack, as you point out, civilian areas inside Israel.
Well, you're right. First of all, we're doing a lot to prevent a lot of them from coming in, but it's not hermetic. You're quite right. But when I say we have control of the skies, you correctly said that they had a very dense anti-aircraft batteries between the western border of Iran and Tehran, and basically our incredible, just there's no other word to describe it, our incredible intel guys and the Mossad, they did wonderful work to peel off the layers of protection that they had, and our pilots took them out. And so we have a free highway to Tehran, and we can now pick off the targets that we need in Tehran and other places without having our planes shot down. And so far, none of them have been shot down. And I hope that continues. But we are absolutely resolute to remove this threat. This is what you have to do when you stand at the brink of catastrophe. And I think it's not just our test. You know, Churchill talked about the slumber of democracies. He said that democracies tend to sleep until the jarring gong of danger wakes them up. Well, sometimes it might not wake them up. Certainly, we didn't need a wake-up gong. I've been talking about the Iranian threat for 40 years. 3 years, I think, or 4 years after the Iranian regime, the Ayatollah regime, hijacked Iran and the people of Iran. I said the greatest threat facing Israel and potentially the world is this regime that will try to arm itself with nuclear weapons. And I've devoted a considerable part of my life, in fact, most of my life, to preventing that. And when the gong of danger sounds, and you know it's the last moment, it's the 12th hour, you've got to act. That's what responsible leaders do. And what I want, what I seek, is that the entire world will do what President Trump is doing. He's standing up for good against evil. He's standing up for the right against the wrong. He's standing up for good against bad. And I think that's very admirable. I salute you for it, President Trump.
The president's also, however, Mr. Prime Minister, calling for Iran to get back to the table, to the negotiating table. You don't seem to be saying that that's worth it. How does this end?
Well, in fact, I said it is worth it if they'll do what the president wants, and that is eliminate their enrichment capacity. You know, that's a lot better than my having my country, my forces, my brave pilots having to do it. It's much better than our Mossad operatives on the ground having to do it. But if they don't do it, and they certainly didn't want to do it, it became very clear, we had to act. We don't wait until, you know, until we have a nuclear holocaust. That's not going to happen again.
So how does it end?
It'll end when we remove those capacities, and we will.
You stop short of killing Iran's civilian leaders, just military commanders. I mentioned nuclear scientists, but not the supreme leader, Khamenei. There is a Reuters report just moving saying that President Trump in the last couple of days vetoed an Israeli plan to kill Iran's supreme leader, according to two U.S. officials. Is that true?
Actually, there are so many false reports of conversations that never happened, and I'm not going to get into that. But I can tell you, I think that we do what we need to do. We'll do what we need to do. And I think the United States knows what is good for the United States, and I'm just not going to get it.
Mr. Prime Minister, very last thing. I asked you how long this may last. You said it's up to the Iranians. If you had the opportunity, and you do now, to speak directly to the Supreme Leader and to speak directly to the Iranian people, what are those two messages you'll say?
Well, the Iranian dictator, really, he's a dictator. He's a tyrant. He has sent us a message calling just about every day for the death of Israel, the destruction of Israel and America, but the death of Israel. So my answer to him is with action, not with words. But to the people of Iran, I say you're great people. You're people of great talent and genius. You have been usurped by this tyranny that has robbed you of hope, has robbed you of a good life. You know, I speak to the Iranian people directly. I don't know if you know this, Brett. I do these videos. I get millions and millions of responses. And they say, Viva Israel. Bravo, Israel. Free us from this tyranny. And I say to them, your hour of freedom is near. Rise up. Be free.
Mr. Prime Minister, we appreciate your time in the middle of a very dangerous time inside Israel. We should point out you are inside Israel. We've kept your location private, since it's a security situation, but we appreciate all the time you've given us. You're welcome back on Special Report anytime. Thank you.
Thank you, Brett.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.